Beloved congregation, we live in days in which there are many trials. There's much concern among the nations. Defense spending is rising throughout the world. Nations are arming themselves as they anticipate war. And currently, there's a war going on in Ukraine, where Russia invaded that independent nation simply for a desire to increase the status of Russia. This brutal assault is carrying on, and lies are being leveled towards the Russian population to motivate them for this war. And the suffering is terrible. Various cities in Ukraine are being bombarded. And before those bombardments happen, a siren is sounded. A siren to urge the people to flee to safety, so they go to underground cellars and to bomb shelters. Well, this evening we also hear something like a siren. And there's not a siren as they hear in Ukraine or in Israel, where the same matters also happen. But it's a siren from around 2,500 years ago, from a prophet from the days of Judah. And that prophet tells us this siren call on behalf of God. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. And that's the text we reflect on in this service, in which we wish to pray for God's blessing upon our labor, upon the crops, that the Lord would yet in mercy remember us as a nation and personally in our lives. We live indeed in trying days. There were terrible days in which the prophet Jeremiah lived. Initially, he was a prophet under the godly king Josiah. But when Josiah had died, there were four kings who were all wicked. And it was in the midst of those four kings that Jeremiah had to prophesy. And he wept as he prophesied, because he saw that things were going wrong, and he wept because he saw the downfall of Jerusalem. And so he was called by the Lord to a difficult task, to speak against the sins of his day and age. And so he proclaimed these searching words, "Earth, earth, earth, hear the word of the Lord." Yes, there were trying days then in Judah. The end of the Davidic kingdom was drawing nigh. The end actually of independence for Judah was drawing nigh. And in 587 BC, the independence of Judah was finalized. And for 2,500 years, the Israelites had no independent state. But that changed today, 75 years ago, in Palestine. Now by God's grace, they have again received an independent state. And we are grateful for that, and we see that as a fulfillment of the prophecies of the Lord, But yet we pray still for the conversion of Israel. Yes, days were difficult in those days of Jeremiah. The end was drawing nigh. And if we look around us in our society today, as I drove up here from Tilsonburg, I crossed many churches in Brantford, many large churches, and in the countryside in like Oxford and Norfolk County, little churches, and they are empty. They maybe have one service, if they have a service. We see that Canada is drawing away from the Lord. Toronto used to be a Sabbath-keeping city. And the Canadians, after World War II, the majority of them still went to church. But then false doctrine came in. And then there was no call anymore to repentance, because through influence of modern theologians, it was said that everyone is saved anyway, and religion becomes marginalized to trying to be good to one another, and then churches peter out. Where there once used to be a shower, a downpour of God's grace, even revivals here in downtown Hamilton, which spread through the Niagara Peninsula. There were days in which there was a downpour of God's grace. Someone compared that to a rain shower. But the rain shower can move on. And when it moves on, it will not return again. And therefore it is necessary that we come together to pray and to beseech the Lord to be present in our congregation, in our churches, to still to be present here in our country with the outpouring of His Holy Spirit. We see wickedness abounding throughout the whole Western world and even throughout the entire world. Immorality is being promoted. And the left agenda of immorality is being promoted and pushed upon our nation with violence. The Lord's day is totally desecrated. God's name is being mocked continually throughout the world. And if we look at the agenda of immorality that's being poured out upon our country, then we fear that the days of Noah have returned. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 38 and 39, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And so there's every reason to pray, not just for a blessing upon our labor and a blessing upon our schools, but we need to pray for revival. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord. I do, and you do. And then we come to the words of our text, and we consider the setting of Jeremiah 22. When you read those words, it may be somewhat remote from you. We are introduced to an important section of the history of Judah from 2,500 years ago. And the setting is the downfall, the demise of the kingdom of Judah. As I said, godly King Josiah had ruled, and when he died, then a son, Jehoiakim, came upon the throne. He was an idolater. He engaged in terrible sins, and the people hated him. And after a while, he rebelled against the Babylonians, and he thought in his pride that he could resist the Babylonian onslaught. And so the Babylonians came, they laid siege to Jerusalem. It was during this siege that Jehoiakim died, and the people hated him. They didn't even want to bury him. So they picked up his body and threw it over the wall. It was a burial of an ass, of a donkey. That's what happened to Jehoiakim. We find this further recorded in Jeremiah 36, verse 30. And then the people made instead his son Jehoiachin king in his place. And this Jehoiachin is mentioned here in our text, in these verses, with the word Konya or Chonya, another name for Jehoiachin. Well, he only reigned for 3 months. And what he did was actually wise. He and his mother and the household, they surrendered to the Babylonians. They opened up the city wall, the gates, and they went out and they surrendered. And that's how he saved his life. And he lived for many years still in Babylon, had children. And Zerubbabel would have been his, I believe, grandson, who would lead the people eventually back into the land of Judah. But when Jehoiachin had surrendered himself, then Nebuchadnezzar made another son of King Josiah ruler over Judah, and that was Zedekiah. And Zedekiah was also a weak and an ungodly king, and he was the last king. So the immorality and the violence and the corruption, the deceit and the idolatry were rampant. And that's the setting of our text. This chapter is especially an accusation against Jehoiachin, this Chonya, who only ruled for 3 months. Apparently he had already committed so much wickedness that the prophet Jeremiah spoke against him in this chapter. In verse 24, we see him under the name Chonya. He would die childless. Well, that means not that he had no children, because it also says here that the Lord would have him seed. I will cast thee out. He did have children, but his children would not rule on the throne of David. And that entails that the royal Davidic house would be ended. And this was shocking. For nearly 500 years, the royal house of David had reigned over Judah. But now, the unthinkable thing happened. It will be stopped. And so these judgments that Jeremiah speaks about were not just momentary issues which would be forgotten after a number of months or years. No, this was permanent. No more king from the house of Judah. But the Lord had promised David that there would always be a king coming from his seed who would rule over the house of Israel. Has the Lord then forgotten to be gracious? Has the Lord forgotten his promise? In no way. And we know why. Because an angel appeared unto a virgin in Nazareth 500 years after this and said that the son you will bring forth will be king of the house of Judah, the house of Israel, and he, his kingdom will be forever and ever, the Lord Jesus Christ. No, the Lord never breaks his word. Not one word the Lord has spoken shall fall idle to the ground. Not one word. And so after hundreds of years, a little shoot would come forth out of the hewn down stump of Jesse, because the Lord Jesus would be king forever. And so the Lord would still fulfill his promise given to David. And Jeremiah also knew about this. He prophesied about this in 23 verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. But the Lord would hurl Jehoiachin and his mother into exile. And there they would die. And in the midst of these awful events, in which the land of Judah would be emptied of people, and when the kingdom would cease to exist, the prophet Jeremiah had to speak. And what could he speak? One final cry. A cry, as it were, of desolation. A cry, well, it's not of despair, but it's one mighty final call, as it were, to the whole land. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Eretz is the Hebrew word. And actually, we should translate this with the word land. That's how the Dutch translation has it. Land, 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 hear the word of the Lord. And so Jeremiah is crying from the depth of his heart, moved by God's Spirit to Judah, in the midst of all the calamities falling upon it. It deals with Judah, not with the whole earth. Yes, through Judah, this is a proclamation to us and to the nations later on. But in that setting, it was a call to the land of Judah. Because of their wickedness, because they had turned away from the Lord. And the fact that the prophet mentions that Hebrew word Eretz 3 times shows how serious this prophecy is. It's like a mother who talks to her son and is very aggravated and says, John, 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 why did you do this? The repetition shows the seriousness. And so these pathetic words, full of anguish and bewilderment, the prophet is expressing the pain of his heart. He is exasperated at the spiritual hardness of the people. Will they never listen? Will they never return? Will they never learn what they must do? We find something comparable to this in the expressions of Ezekiel, who was a contemporary of Jeremiah, but he prophesied in Babylon. He was led away with the first exile, together with King Jehoiachin. In Ezekiel 21, we read there in 26, the prophet is speaking against the kings of Judah and gives a similar prophecy as Jeremiah. And there Ezekiel says, thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem, take off the crown. I will overturn, overturn, overturn it. And it shall be no more. The royal house of David will be no more until he come whose right it is. And I will give it to him. That's Jesus. He is the king. He is entitled to reign forever and ever. Jeremiah and Ezekiel, they both prophesied of the Lord Jesus. This threefold repetition, land, 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 is not superfluous. Calvin writes, just as the hardness of iron is overcome by the repeated strokes of a hammer, so the prophet repeats the words to attempt to soften the perverseness by which the Jews had hardened themselves. We see the seriousness, and therefore we find land, 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 hear the word of the Lord. So here the Lord is speaking to the inhabitants of Judah. He's not referring to a geographical country, obviously, but to the people who live there. They can hear. They are called to turn to the Lord. They had to repent. And so we can expand on this. Because these words, they now come to us. Also, these words are written for our salvation, for our well-being. Because there is none who doeth good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And therefore, without repentance, no one can stand before God. And when the Lord Jesus sent out his apostles in Luke 24 to proclaim the gospel, what was it again that they had to preach? They had to preach repentance and remission of sins. That's what Jeremiah was focusing upon in these words. And that's essential for us. Repentance. There needs to be an initial repentance by owning our guilt and seeing who we are and how we behave ourselves and what our priorities are in life. And then we see that we have neglected the Lord, that we pay lip service to Him. And then we own our guilt. And even the most godly of God's children have only a small beginning of this perfect obedience. There's reason for myself and for you to humble ourselves before the Lord. We need repentance, initial repentance, but also a continued repentance throughout life. A daily turning to the Lord. A daily entering the inner chamber to be alone with God. To open His Word. That the Lord would speak to us through His Word. And that we would pour out our heart unto the Lord. That we would take some time for that. That it would not be rushed. But that it would be the most important part of the day. Maybe early in the morning. Or maybe if you don't fall asleep late at night. But we need to have this personal self-examination. We belong to the inhabitants of the land. We are to hear the word of the Lord, and the Lord calls us to repentance. To examine ourselves, whether we are in the faith. But to examine ourselves when we do know the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is a turning away from Him, a subtle being taken over by other matters, that idolatry creeps in, that you love something and trust in something or someone above the Lord, that you are focused on something or someone beside the Lord. That's idolatry. And that's the beginning of turning away from the Lord. We need to have a self-watch. That's what Jeremiah is aiming at. And therefore, repentance is needed. And we consider this even more if we look around us and we look in our own hearts and we consider the situation in which we are, we can take notice of the judgments of God. Think of the judgments that had fallen upon Judah, upon the house of David. The Lord executes judgments. And therefore Jeremiah is saying, hear the word of the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the nations turn to the Lord. There are many sins. Sins of undermining God's word. Sins of questioning God's word. That God's word would not be trustworthy. And then people neglect God's word. Even they go to when they go to church. In their daily lives they can be so busy, no time to study the words of God. There are sins of immorality, the sins of abortion in our nation, the sins of ignoring God, of undermining the Ten Commandments. Our culture is consistently undermining the Ten Commandments. Our culture is consistently turning away from God's Word. And a nation is blessed when it fears the Lord. But when a nation veers away from the Lord and His Word, then paganism returns and all kinds of misery and calamities will fall upon a nation. And therefore we need to pray. But then if we think of the church, because we can speak about the decay of society and we can point our fingers at society. But where does the decay of society start? Where did the decay of Canadian and Western society and Dutch society start? It started in the church. It started in the pulpits. When God's word is no longer understood and no longer preached. When God's word is no longer laid upon us. When His word is negated. People who call themselves reformed are embracing evolution. People who call themselves reformed are neglecting faithful preaching. The necessity of repentance. And of regeneration, that ye must be born again is not heard. And instead people cater to the culture in which we live. They want to join in with the culture, condoning sin. And therefore as churches we need to humble ourselves and to hear the word of the Lord. And personally in our lives. Is it our aim in life to be clothed with the image of Christ? Is that your daily prayer? That your life would be changed to resemble the Lord Jesus Christ? Because that's the aim of Christian life. That we will be turned and changed after His image. That increasingly we learn to do His will in self-denial, in love to Him. That's our calling in life. And also in the midst of congregations, to have respect and love and patience towards one another. And also to respect and to pray for our consistories. And to remember the task that consistories have in this day and age, which is not simple. And to pray for one another. Let there be continual prayer for one another. from the consistory for the congregation. From the congregation for the consistory. And for the members of the congregation to one another. Lift each other up in prayer. That's what the Lord wants. That's part and parcel of hearing the word of the Lord. Brethren, pray for one another. That's our calling. And that's what Jeremiah is driving at. When he says, land, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Isaiah also says something that resembles that. Isaiah 1 verse 2. You know the text. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Then the heavens and the earth are called as a witness against the rebellion of the people of Israel. And here in our text, it's as it were the land is referred to. Land, 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 hear the word of the Lord. The land should listen. Do we listen? What moves us in life? What are we living for? Have we learned to love the Lord above all things? Is our delight focused upon the Lord and to know Him more and to enjoy Him more and to delight in Him more? Have we learned to listen to the word of the Lord? And what is that word of the Lord? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. For He is the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And He, the living Word, revealed God unto us. And so we are to reflect upon the Lord Jesus, His passion, His suffering, what He did as a substitute, and that everything the Lord Jesus suffered, everything of His suffering was necessary to save you. Not just a little part of that suffering, but all that suffering so that you would be saved. Think upon what the Lord Jesus has done. Consider the power of His resurrection, that He is able to renew people into a new life. Consider His power over death and over the grave. The Lord is calling us to be devoted to Him. And the situation is urgent. Earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. It's not that we are called to do something very difficult, something that is tremendous effort. No, we only have to listen. Like a mother says to a child, "Will you now listen?" That's all we need to do. Listen. You don't have to come to the Lord with all kinds of experiences. Experiences are genuine. They belong to Christian life. But that's not a prerequisite. It's not a condition. You may come as you are with all your lack and all your shortcomings. You are to simply listen. And you take His word. And you shut off your cell phone. And you close the door. and you listen, hear the word of the Lord. And we are to hear in such a manner that we will react to the word of God. So that you question, why is this recorded? What does this mean to me? What did it mean to the people of those days? How does it reflect upon my life? And it will come down to repentance. Because the Lord commands all men everywhere to repent. And therefore we need God's Holy Spirit to enter our life. And therefore we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. Especially in the day and age in which we are. This old earth is creaking. It's getting weary of all the deceit, of all the breaking of God's commandments. It's weary of all the cruelty, of all the bloodshed, of all the covetousness, of all the corruption, of the high-mindedness and the pride of life. The earth is getting tired of bearing people who transgress the Lord. For the apostle says, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. The Lord is coming to judge the living and the dead. And this world is hastening to its end. And therefore one thing is necessary. One thing is needful for all of us. And that is not to get rich in this world, but it is to get rich in Christ. For whatever happens in this world, whatever calamities fall upon the world, when you know the Lord Jesus Christ, when you may have those first fruits of the Spirit, of love and of hope and of faith and of patience and of a joy in the Lord and a hunger and thirst to know the Lord more and more, when this may be reality in your life, then you are safely kept in the palm of His hand. Then you know the only comfort in life and in death, that is that you belong to your faithful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will watch over you. Not a hair from your head can fall. Whatever happens in the world, even if it will cost us our life, it will cost us ultimately nothing, because we are safe in Christ. Then you will inherit everlasting life. That's the blessing of listening to the word of the Lord. It's a cry for our well-being. And then attached to that cry, attached to that reality, is also His daily care in our lives. The Lord knows that you need to eat and drink. The Lord knows what you need to wear, and that you need a place to live, and that you need work and you need income. The Lord knows your needs as a congregation, and He is willing to give above your expectations. But let there be a humble looking unto Jesus, crying unto Him, trusting and obeying. For indeed there's no other way. In that way His presence will be felt. In that way His nearness will be a reality in your life. And His presence will be experienced in the midst of the congregation, in the services on the Lord's day. in the fellowship with one another, together looking to the Lord Jesus, together encouraging us one another. And then the Lord will also grant His favor and blessing upon your labor, upon your work. Because the Lord says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things, these things of daily life, they will be added to you. And that's why it's a blessing to listen, to hear the words of the living God. Amen.